आप सबको प्रीति जबल का नमस्कार। आज SBS हिंदी पर हमारे खास मेहमान हैं विक्टोरिया के नए विपक्षी नेता श्री मैथ्यू गाय। श्री गाय 2014 से 2018 तक लिबरल पार्टी के राज्य नेता रह चुके हैं और 2018 के चुनाव में लिबरल पार्टी की हार के बाद उन्होंने नेतृत्व से इस्तीफा दे दिया था। तकरीबन 3 साल बाद 7 सितंबर 2021 से इन्होंने श्री माइकल ओब्रायन को हटाकर फिर से लिबरल पार्टी का जिम्मा संभाल लिया है। आज के विशेष कार्यक्रम में हम स्वागत करते हैं विक्टोरिया के विपक्ष के नेता श्री मैथ्यू गाय का।
थैंक्स फॉर जॉइनिंग अस ऑन SBS हिंदी टुडे मिस्टर गाय, वेलकम एंड नमस्ते।
नमस्ते, थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर हैविंग मी।
Congratulations on your appointment as Liberal Party leader in Victoria. You've said that it is the hardest job in politics. So what made you take up the challenge again?
That's a very good question, because I have said that. I feel at this point in time the state needs an alternative to the Labor government. We're seeing record levels of mental health crisis. We're seeing our businesses closing, and what we need is the Liberal Party in Victoria to present a strong alternative to the Andrews government. I know what this government is like. I stood at the last election, so I know the personality of this government. So I think I'm the best placed person on the Liberal side to take that fight up to the Andrews government, and more to the point, stand up for Victorians. I think we need to focus on hospitalisations and intensive care rates, and to make sure that our health system is ready. We've had 18 months to prepare. We know what the rest of the world is going through and how they're dealing with COVID now. That's where Australia is now at. So I'm not obsessed by the daily number. I think the daily number has been a distraction for a year and a half. Australians it's easy to keep your daily number at zero if you shut your border from everyone coming in. But that's not a long-term solution. In fact, that's a long-term solution for economic devastation. So we need to be sensible about and do that now.
Mr. Guy, on economic considerations, Victoria and New South Wales have handled their roadmaps differently. Do you feel Premier Daniel Andrews' roadmap has factored in concerns of business owners and industry leaders?
No, I think the government's roadmap has been based heavily on politics, and I don't think that's been terribly helpful. I think we need to have more than just a roadmap based entirely on politics. We need to have it based on health advice, on the consideration of mental health, and frankly, on what is going to be best for the country and the state in the long term, not just the short-term gain for the government politically. And I believe and I worry that the government in Victoria has heavily focused their response on politics and not on reality. That worries me immensely.
Mr. Guy, what would you do differently? I believe you also have an alternative roadmap.
We have said from the very start that we would have brought in the Australian Defence Force to manage our hotel quarantine, but we've also said, even today, it is time to focus on rebuilding and recovering our economy.
Which brings me to the next question. There are reportedly 42,900 people who have left Victoria to live elsewhere, according to the annual population change on 31st of March this year. Have you had a chance to deep dive into the data to understand what the demographics behind these stats are and the reasons for them to move? And how does that affect Victoria?
It's hard to understand the reasons, but it's obvious to work out why. And that is because Victoria's position in our country is the worst in terms of managing COVID. The figures bear that out. Our economy is suffering immensely from these continual lockdowns as a result. And that is having a huge strain on people's mental health. As a consequence, people are just upping and leaving Victoria. That is not a good situation. We are losing more people than at any stage in our state's history. We can't afford that, not just an intellectual and financial loss, but the physical loss of people from our state will have a devastating impact upon confidence, investment, our economy and our recovery. And I don't think the government understands this. They just think they are numbers on a piece of paper. They are not. This will directly impact our recovery. We need to encourage people to stay in Victoria and those particularly from overseas to come to live in Victoria when this is all over.
Mr. Guy, according to you, Premier Daniel Andrews should step down due to his alleged IBAC inquiry. From memory, and with all due respect, you have also had your fair share of controversies and allegations. Is resignation the only alternative?
Well, I've never been investigated by the Broad-Based Anti-Corruption Commission, and there's a big difference on that. The Premier appears to be facing two investigations from the Anti-Corruption Commission. The New South Wales Premier stepped down over one. So it comes down to whether or not you believe in integrity or not. The Victorian Premier clearly does not. He's never considered integrity to be high on the government's agenda, and you can tell it from the government's actions. It's one thing to make allegations. It's another thing to actually have an inquiry into your actions. And what we have in Victoria are inquiries into actions of the government, two of them. And as a consequence, that's very, very different.
Mr. Guy, let's move on to our community. As a former multicultural minister, you have worked often with the Indian diaspora, which has been deeply impacted by the pandemic. Many still remain stranded overseas, especially in India, a year and a half into the pandemic. Have we let Victorians and Australians down at a time they needed us most?
Has Australia let us down? Certainly we need to. There was a broad consensus by the government to close our borders to the world, not just to India at one point in time, and that was every state government of the Commonwealth. And I do agree with that, but it is now the time to manage our return back to normality, and we have to do that. We have to have a normalised approach back to our borders in time and do it safely and properly. And I hope that the governments, state and federal, have worked all those quarantine issues out, because, you know, we've had 18 months. Obviously, Australians would expect that it has been done.
So what kind of pressure can you put as opposition leader on the government to allow travel for parents or for tourists as well as students stuck overseas?
Well, what we have to make sure that is each state government has got its quarantine facilities right, because we can't open the border in one state and then have an outbreak in, for instance, in Brisbane, which then comes across the whole country, that's quite potent. We have to manage our quarantine situation. Certainly Australians returning home, I see that there's flights now returning from South America and Asia back to Australia. That's important. I think the Prime Minister had said at the start of the pandemic, I think he had called for all Australians overseas to come home and come home quickly. And there was a two and a half month request for people to do that. 2 months is a long time to get home. And so we now need to open up safely. And I think the Prime Minister and all, with respect to every Premier, is now accepting that in time that'll happen. It's just a matter of getting our quarantine facilities right too.
Mr. Guy, India has been the second largest source of international students, contributing almost $6.6 billion to the Australian economy in 2019-20 financial year alone. Australia's economic recovery depends on the opening of borders, but this issue does not seem to be on your agenda.
Well, it is on mine, because that's why we've called for the return of overseas students on a staged basis, bring international students back to Victoria, get them through the quarantine facility and get them back to our universities. We have to do this. It is very important for our economy, but also for our education sector. I mean, this has been one of our most important sectors for many, many years, and we can't just let it wither and go away. And it's dependent on overseas students. So we must have plans to bring overseas students back to Victoria, back to Melbourne, quarantine them, have them vaccinated before they come. That's all straightforward, common sense. But we must have those plans.
And what are those plans looking like at the moment?
Well, we are dependent on the Commonwealth government opening the borders and the state government getting the quarantine facilities up and running. And both of those two things, I imagine, will take some months still, 2 months or so. But it's pretty clear that a date is approaching, whether it's in December, which is what's being discussed now, certainly for New South Wales, that there will be a return to our borders being open. So we've got to prepare for it. We've been knowing that this moment would come now for a year and a half. It's time to make sure we're prepared to bring not just tourists, but foreign students back to our country to normalise our education sector. We cannot go on with it not being normalised. It's so important that we get foreign students back into our economy and also for our education sector. We can do it safely, so let's do it.
And finally, Mr. Guy, there is not much visible representation of the Indian community when it comes to leadership within the Liberal Party. Labour has already got MP Kaushalya Wagela on board. If you were to come in power, what can be done to increase representation of such a large migrant community?
Well, we've always said that we need to diversify the parliamentary party. We don't have as many members as Labor. They've got twice as many as us. I understand that. But it is certainly going to be one of our targets for the next election, is to make sure we are broadly represented, not just in gender, but in Australians' backgrounds. And I have no doubt whatsoever we will do that. Absolutely none.
And that would include having people from the community in winnable seats as well, if there's any such thing?
There is no doubt that we will do that. Absolutely none.
Thank you, Mr. Guy, for your time, and thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.